of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
If it wasn't for several prophetic verses, we'd think this guy is crazy. And if it wasn't for several prophetic verses, we'd think this lady is crazy. You know, it's crazy to think people hate you enough to kill you when they don't even know you. But sometimes when you stand for what's right, you stand alone. But when God is on your side, you're never alone. So as we explore the craziness of this world, just remember, the Bible told us these would be the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, March 27th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about or even ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net. Or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who's having a really rough week. How rough? Well, it's been so rough, his reality check bounced. And that's Pastor Mark, who has learned the hard way. There's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation.
And some see it that way.
Okay.
Let's hope that never happens.
That's right. I laughed because it came with the picture of Barney and Andy in a church service.
Yes.
Is this going to end? So anyway.
I want to give a special shout out to our listeners in Russia. I had some here this week and they were just thanking us for the broadcast. There's a group that listens there in Russia and they're so thankful for us and thankful for bringing in the truth of the gospel there through the ministry there in Russia. So all of our Russia people, our family there, we love you. We're glad you're part of the family and Signs of the Times. And I just want to give you a special shout out.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, not too far away from Russia is the land of Israel, which we will visit first by going to an article from allisraelnews.com dated March 26th. Despite wars and missiles, World Zionist Organization head believes within 5 years, most Jews will live in Israel. Well, I think there are several Bible prophecies that back you up on that.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while, haven't we? And I don't know if it'll be within 5 years. I don't know if it'll be sooner than 5 years. But I definitely, when this headline caught my attention, Greg, because that's exactly what the Bible says will happen, that God is going to regather the Jews back in the land that he gave them, the land of Israel, the land of Zion. He's going to give it back to them in the last days. And we're seeing already millions have already gone back to the land of Israel. They are the first people group that have ever been dispersed as a nation. that has ever come back together as a nation for more than 300 years. Nobody's ever gone beyond that except the Jews. And the reason being is God supernaturally has done it. He promised he would do it. He's been true to his word. He's brought them back in the land. It's amazing. So many people question, is Israel really Israel? Are these the real this? Look at Israel. I mean, wake up. You know, look at what's going on. The bottom line is God said, I'm going to bring them back. There they are. So, I mean, it's amazing. We live in a day when reality is ignored. You know, we were talking about how they couldn't pass in the UN this week a bill to say men were men and women were women, how the Congress couldn't pass a bill on Women's Day because they couldn't determine who a woman was. We live in a world where reality and common sense is gone. I mean, it's not hard to see a man and see a woman. That is so easy. It's a child can do it.
Yeah.
But because of politics and spiritual interference and culture, and it's amazing to me. Well, you have the same thing here with Israel. People are blind to what God is doing. It is a supernatural thing that God predicted thousands of years ago. Now we're watching it take place. It began in 1940. It actually began before that, but they officially became a nation in 1948. Now they're back in the land. God's bringing them back. And we've been saying God is going to continue to bring them back. He says that in his word. Ezekiel talks about it and other places, where once he's gathered them there, he will pour out his spirit on them and they're going to be born again. And many of them are going to be saved. And so we've been saying, I believe, Greg, a lot of the Jews have gone back voluntarily, but there's some that are just comfortable. They won't go back unless they're driven back because they have nice homes, nice jobs. It's easy, you know, and they see, you know, who wants to move to another country and start over. I get that. But I believe God's now driving them home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you see, the anti-Semitism that's on the rise. I believe God is allowing that to happen, to drive the Jews, to get them so abused and mistreated and cornered and hated that they finally want to go somewhere. They have people like them that love them and will gather around them. They can fight together and protect themselves. And that's happening. They're being driven back. We see what's happening in New York with the growing hatred of Jews and the rise of Islam. And you're seeing it all across the nation. You're seeing it all around the world, all around the globe. And so when I read articles, a headline like this, again, this is exactly what the Bible says will happen. The World Zionist Organization has no clue of this. They don't know that. But God knows. And listen to what it says. With Israel's home front under daily bombardment from Iranian missiles and Hezbollah attacks, or rockets rather, it would be natural to assume that large numbers of Jewish people would be trying to leave the country while few would be trying to immigrate. But the exact opposite trends are happening. As veteran Israelis are determined to stand their ground, and hundreds of thousands of Jewish people all over the world have taken steps toward making Aliyah, that is, or Aliyah, which means immigrating to Israel. So they're saying, look, you would think with all the attack they're under, people would want to leave. No, what's happening is people are getting patriotic for their nation, Israel. They're going home to fight. They're going home to stand. Some are going home to feel safe because they're so unsafe here. And so Yaakov Haguel, chairman of the World Zionist Organization, is not surprised by this. During an interview with Israel's Ynet News portal on Tuesday, he said, and I quote, "I have no doubt we will see many more Jews here. I have no doubt we'll see a stronger identity here. I have no doubt we'll make the effort. Within 5 years, with God's help, most Jews will live in Israel. Although life in Israel has been difficult," the article says, "during the past few years of war, and with the nation currently enduring tremendous hardship from missile bombardments, in a state of emergency, there's also a sense that these challenges are nothing Israel can't handle. Polls show high level of public trust in the IDF, as well as civilian emergency agencies like Megan David, Adam, and the Israeli police. In many diaspora communities, the trend is moving in the opposite direction as local police and even national governments struggle to address skyrocketing levels of anti-Semitism. In some places, including, here we go, New York City, home one of the largest concentrations of Jews outside of Israel, political leaders have been criticized for failing to protect Jews adequately." Again, that's Mamdani right now. "Many Israeli officials and Jewish leaders in the diaspora say the handwriting is on the wall. Aliyah has gone from being a nice idea to becoming an urgent necessity."
Mm.
Israel President Isaac Herzog met with the representatives of the diaspora communities in Jerusalem late last year, declaring, and I quote, "At a time when Jews are under attack around the world, Israel remains their anchor and their home." It's going to happen, guys. It is happening. You know, it's interesting, Greg. I had an interesting imagery in my mind the other day. Somebody asking me again, well, why do we stand with Israel now since they don't know God? And again, it's because the promises of God are unconditional. God said, I'm going to do it regardless of whether they're good or bad. I'm going to finish my promises to them and bring them back in the last days. Not all of them will be saved, but a large portion of them will be. So they are future family. In other words, they will be born into the family. They will be born again once he gathers them back in the land. And after we see that Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle take place. And it's like the nation of Israel, why do we love them? It's like a baby in the womb. They're not a part of the family yet. They're still in the womb. They're still developing. They're still getting ready to be born. But we love that baby in the womb, or we should. Mm-hmm. Sadly, many people will kill their baby in the womb. But the bottom line is, for this analogy, it's the baby in the womb that will be born. That's why we stand with Israel. That's why we love Israel. We don't even know them as family yet. But we will know them as family when they are born as family. And so they will be born as family. And again, I want to make this comment. I shared it last week, but I want to say it again because there seem to be questions out there about who is real Israel. And the stumbling block seems to be when it says not all Israel is Israel in Book of Romans. And they use that to say, well, these aren't the real Jews then. They're not the real Israel. No. That's not what he's saying at all. Go back and look at it in context. He's saying the promise. There's two promises to the Jewish people. There's a genetic promise and there's a spiritual promise. The genetic promise was to Abraham out of Genesis 15, where God said, all of your genetic descendants, no matter their political views, whether they're political Jews or not, no matter whether they're saved, no matter whether they're unsaved, no matter whether they're nice or horrible, all of them I've promised to give the land of Israel to. And I'm going to keep that promise. And it's an unconditional promise. And so that means there's nothing they can do to break it, no matter how they behave. So that goes to all genetic Jews genetically, DNA-wise, okay? Unsaved, saved, it doesn't matter. The second promise is to spiritual Israel, and that is to the Jews who receive Christ as their Savior. So although all the genetic Jews will be moved back, and God has given them that right in the land, not all genetic Jews have the right to heaven, and only the Jews that receive Christ have the right to heaven. That is spiritual Israel. So we're going to see a massive amount of spiritual Israel getting saved after the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe initially. And then we're going to see others get saved after that. And that's the division breakup there of those two, to clarify for those that are having that kind of question.
And it's important to remember, too, at the time Paul was writing this, he's speaking to the Jews who believed that they were going to heaven simply by virtue of the fact that they were Jewish,
right?
That they were Israel. So Paul had to make the distinction between, yes, there's a promise for you physically, but spiritually, if you're not doing what Abraham is doing or what he did, now it had been revealed who the Messiah was at the time that Paul wrote that.
Yeah.
So they were assigning the fact that they were Jewish, that they were going to get in just because they were Jews.
Right.
So there's a lot of that was going on at that time, and now it gets misapplied again.
Yeah, again, it's the enemy's using it for people who don't know the scriptures, and they twist them to their own harm, and they're gonna, you know, they're standing against God. When you stand against Israel, you're standing against God.
All right, when we come back to America, we're going to run into the governor of California's wife, Gavin Newsom's wife, says evangelicals are pulling us back as a country. This is from Fox News, dated March 23rd.
Yes, and I would agree. Pulling us back to God is what the evangelicals are doing in America, and that's wonderful. They are pulling us back to God, but that's not where she wants to go, and that's not where Gavin Newsom wants to go, because they are ungodly. Governor Gavin Newsom, who, by the way, has destroyed California, his wife scolded reporters at a Planned Parenthood funding bill signing, accusing them of not caring about the horrific war on women in this country.
Can she define what a woman is, by the way?
She probably,
I'm just kind of curious.
She probably can't, but nobody's talking about the war on the babies.
Yes.
A resurfaced interview with Jennifer Siebel Newsom, wife of California Governor Gavin Newsom, is drawing attention online after she said that evangelicals are pulling us back as a country. And I quote, "They're living in this silo, this evangelical conservative silo that ultimately is just pulling us back as a country to a time when people loved God." I added
what?
That. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help that. Let me go back and read it. She really said it. All right, here we go.
Okay.
"It's ultimately just pulling us back as a country to a time and a place where we don't deserve to be. And we're not going to be there. That is loving God." Mm. I added that part. Siebel Newsom said, "Because honestly, young women and fathers of daughters are awake now, and they're woke." And they're not going to let us go back. Now, first of all, this is evil.
It totally.
But secondly, imagine if Gavin Newsom becomes president of the United States, what that's going to do to the Christians of America. Matthew 24 says that the whole world is going to turn against the Jews, but until the rapture, they're going to be turning on the Christians as well. If we got a president like that that so openly hates Christians, how do you think we're going to be treated? What do you think is going to happen? You look at Mamdani there in New York, who openly hates the Jews and said it, made it very clear. And now we have all the Muslims marching in the streets and blocking the streets with their prayers and all the things they're doing and the Jews being attacked and run out of town. Well, the same thing is going to happen to Christians if we don't wake up. It's going to happen here in Knoxville. It's going to happen everywhere. Don't think you're immune to it just because you're here in the South. But I just think about this and go, you know, in part of me goes, common sense and logic would say you would never, ever worry about him getting elected because he has so destroyed the economy in California. He has so run people out of California. He's done so much damage. But, Greg, people are so blind in our day and age, and they're so blinded by their own desires, their politics, and what they believe. They really could vote for him anyway. I think that even the people there that have watched him destroy that state would still vote for him. I mean that. I think they really would.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I think we're seeing the full fruits of the end of Romans chapter 1.
Yeah.
You know, where God is giving these people over to a debased or a depraved mind that so exceeds the common sense that God has instilled in us
beings. Yeah, you're right. The Bible says it'll be like that in the last days. There'll be a delusion where we will believe the lie, which is all-encompassing. I don't know what specific is there, but I think it's kind of an all-encompassing thing. But part of that lie is, I mean, look, we can't even decide if a boy's a boy and a girl's a girl. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, what do you say to that?
I don't know what to say. I just stand and look at people.
Yeah.
I just want to look at them and go, I'm just looking at you.
What planet did you just come from?
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
How can you not? But again, remember, the Bible says that the God of this world, small g, it's referring there to Satan when it says that he's not a God, but it's referring to him as the one that rules over this world. You know, the Bible says God rules over the whole world and it's his. But he has allowed Satan limited rulership until he comes back to take his throne. So it calls him, you know, the God of this world, the prince of this world, Satan. But so it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever so that they cannot believe. So it's you know, in one way you go, how do you not? But then when you think of a blind person, if they're truly blind and you're trying to hold something up in front of them and show it to them and they say they can't see it, you're going, look, it's right in front of your face, but they really can't see it. They're that blind. Now, typically, even the unsaved don't get that blind. It takes a while to get to that level of blindness. But now we've gone so long where they've rejected God so long, there's a new level of blindness, Greg, where literally they cannot even tell a boy and a girl. It wouldn't surprise me if they watch a man destroy his own state. And I believe that, truly, I think out of a hatred for Donald Trump, they don't care. Let him destroy the whole nation like that. Let the whole nation go broke. Let everything just be destroyed. Just anybody but Trump. And so it scares me because they just recently announced they're looking for good-looking people to run. They want somebody handsome and good-looking or pretty.
Interesting.
Yeah, they don't want anybody that's not in shape or is not handsome. Because they know, let's appeal to the flesh. If we can just appeal to the flesh. And it doesn't matter what they believe, what their morals are, none of that matters.
It's Hollywood.
Let's get Hollywood in there.
Yes.
And let's take over. And again, now you see the Bible says in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah. Violence will fill the streets. It's going to be total chaos.
Which is what we've got now.
It really is. It's happening before our very eyes.
So instead of a campaign manager, you have a casting director.
Yeah, basically. I mean, really, that's kind of what happens. I mean, you think about it. It's like that's why when people see somebody real, look, you can fuss about Donald Trump all you want, his abrasiveness, the way that he does things. But Greg, I think part of the appeal that got him elected twice is he just.
Or you could say three times.
Yeah. Anyway, that he's gotten to be in office twice.
Yes.
Part of that appeal is he just says the truth. He may say it abrasively, but he just says the truth and everybody knows it. You know, when he says it, you're like, you're not supposed to say that, you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to say that either, but you're exactly right. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So, again, very interesting to watch how this is going to work. But the blindness is only going to get worse in the last days.
All right, in our One World Government news this week, We look at an article here from Fox News dated March 23rd. The United States stands alone at the United Nations after Europe kills a gender definition vote proposal.
Yeah, what's amazing to me, we're getting back to now.
What's we a failed man, biology.
Yeah, what's a man, what's a woman? What's amazing to me, Greg, is the number of Muslim nations that didn't really rise up and say, the Muslims don't put up with this.
Yeah, so why?
They don't put up with it. They clearly say a man is a man, a woman is a woman. They will put you to death if you're transgender or homosexual. They'll throw you off the top of buildings.
Right.
So anyway, the United States stood alone at the UN in early March after a European-led procedural move blocked a vote on defining gender in biological terms at one of the world's leading forums on women's rights. Let's dare not decide what the biological terms are. Maybe it's time for me to record that song, Greg. I need to just record it.
Yeah, and return to gender.
I'm gonna put out a new Elvis song, and I'm gonna just kind of sing it. I need to let my sideburns grow and. Anyway,
I can see this. I'm picturing it.
Yeah. Yes. At the conclusion of the UN Commission on the Status of Women, the U.S. was the only country to oppose the body's annual agreed conclusions, citing concerns that the language departs from biological definitions of women and girls. No other member state voted with the United States. There wasn't one country in the world that could say a man was a man, a woman was a woman. I mean, I don't have words. Now you know why Jesus said, when I return, will I even find faith on the earth? Now, we're going to be taken up before that. We know Jews will be saved. There'll be other Gentiles saved. Many are going to be killed during the Great Tribulation, so maybe it's going to be such a small number, he made that statement. But you look at that and go, the world is hopeless without Christ. He goes on, at the center of the dispute is how the United Nations defines gender. A current UN frameworks rooted in the 1995 Beijing Declaration do not provide a fixed definition of gender and instead rely on evolving interpretations tied to a broader concept of gender identity, according to the EU officials. The UN proposal sought to anchor the term explicitly in biological sex. I mean, how dare they? The distinction carries practical implications. UN language shapes global standards tied to development funding, humanitarian programs, education policy, and anti-discrimination frameworks. Here's what makes this so devastating, Greg, and this is why I hope that the UN shuts down. I hope that they're going broke. Let them go broke. She added that the decision to block the vote was driven by political calculation. Here's the thing. What they're saying is, because they couldn't vote on that, now the whole thing is any gender goes, and all the money that's going in can be distributed in these countries toward anything weird gender stuff you want to give it to. If they nailed it down to male and female, that money could only be used on male and female things. Now it can be used in whatever gender mix they come up with.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when we think about what Jesus said, when he said, you know, if they hated you, they hated me first.
That's right.
And so basically what we're seeing here is we're seeing a spiritual hatred for God's creation, his design, his order. God is the one that came up with two genders, male and female. We didn't come up with that idea. We didn't come up with the concept. We didn't come up with any of it. And we've spent millennia studying the human anatomy and continually to be amazed at God's handiwork.
Yeah.
But yet, in our spiritual defiance, in our rebellion to God, we will defy biology, logic, common sense, science, it doesn't matter, because they so hate God in their spirit first. Yes, it's played out on the stage of hating Christians or hating whatever. It doesn't matter. But never lose sight of the fact that this is a spiritual battle first and foremost.
It is. I mean, they denied all, even Elvis.
Yes, even Elvis.
Even Elvis.
Even Elvis did.
Yes, no, they denied Elvis.
Yeah, that's right. They did.
Because,
They denied he probably really died.
Last one unknown. No. Yeah, I mean, again, that's why I said they denied Elvis.
Yes.
He wrote a song about it.
He did. And I think there's going to be a remake soon, I'm hoping.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay. All right, in our growing anti-Semitism, but let's just call it what it means to us, and that's Jew hate. Our first article comes from All Israel News, dated March 23rd. Four Jewish ambulances, I didn't even know that Jews had their own ambulances, so this is very interesting. Four Jewish ambulances set ablaze in an anti-Semitic attack outside a London synagogue.
Maybe the synagogue owns their own ambulance?
Maybe. That could be.
Is there any kind of, and I say this honestly, I'm not trying to be facetious here. Is there any kind of kosher thing with medical things and ambulance stuff?
You know, that's a great question.
Because maybe there's something to do with some
that
kind of...
very well could be.
To fit the law.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Well, four rescue ambulances belonging to the Jewish Hatzalah Northwest Emergency Service were set on fire overnight between Sunday and Monday outside a synagogue in Golders Green, Northwest London. The neighborhood, historically known for its significant Jewish population, has led the authorities to treat the incident as an anti-Semitic attack. Well, yeah. At the time of the writing, no arrests had been made. Now, again, this is where we talked about there's going to be greater and greater heat, in this case quite literally, but greater and greater heat turned up on the Jews to drive them back. They're going to be driven out of London. They're going to be driven out of New York and America. They're going to go back to their homeland. God is regathering them. He's keeping his word as he promised. He said he would bring them back. He's bringing them back. We're watching it happen. This, I think, is another avenue of that.
All right, our next article comes from Israel365news.com. This is dated March 25th. This is according to a UK poll. 1 in 5 students won't live with a Jew. Nearly half of the UK university students have witnessed justification, I guess, from the October 7th massacre. Like, they're afraid to be around a Jew because they're always targeted.
Well, it calls the world to hate him. No, okay. They're saying they hate him.
Oh, gotcha.
Again, imagine if this was the black community. You know, back, we go back to the 60s,
yes,
the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Now, think about that. What if 1 in 5 students said, we won't live with a black student, and because of whatever.
Because of what happened in Selma, Alabama.
Everybody's head
or
would
something.
Be blowing off. You'd be,
yes,
like, because that would be wrong. Well, what makes this any different? See, the Jews are fair game to hate because of its spiritual battle. This, mm-hmm, is a spiritual battle. The Lord said that all will hate you in the last days, speaking to the Jewish people. A recent poll by the Union of Jewish Students report that 1 in 5 British university students would refuse to share a house with a Jewish student. Mm. Have witnessed the glorification of Hamas and Hezbollah,
oh, yeah,
on campus. So they're watching all the Hamas glorification, the terrorist stuff happening.
And you got a fear of man.
Yeah, and nearly half have seen October 7th massacre, the largest mass murder of Jews since the Holocaust, openly justified. This is a documented reality of Jewish life at the 170 universities across the United Kingdom in 2026. The glorification of the designated terrorist organizations has become widespread and even routine at British universities. USJ president, or UJS president, Lewis Danker put it plainly, and I quote, "This report demonstrates that anti-Semitism on campus is not isolated, but normalized." Now, that's what's happening worldwide. Again, all these articles, it's interesting to watch how they kind of go in a section of what's happening worldwide, like with the Jews now. This is worldwide. There's a spiritual worldwide attack, a growing hatred of the Jews. But guys,
Zechariah 12.
Yes, but remember, they're being driven back to the land. And the Bible tells us in Zechariah that when they come back, during the second coming, it tells of the second coming. It says the tribes of Israel will be there. It's interesting. I hear people say, well, it's only political Israel. God doesn't break it up into political.
Political Israel?
That's their other excuse now.
Oh, boy.
But here's the thing. God doesn't break it up into political, non-political. That's ridiculous. It's genetic. And then it's spiritual. Those two we talked about. However, when he talks about the Jews that are mourning when they see the Messiah coming back, he says Nathan and David and Levi. He's talking about the tribes.
Tribes, yeah.
You know, Judah and the priests. He's not talking about politics.
Right.
So they don't know their Bibles. They don't believe their Bibles. It's going to happen whether they believe it or not. It is happening whether they believe it or not. And if you want to stand on the right side of eternity, you need to stand with the nation of Israel because God's going to, they're going to be born. They're going to be born again. They're going to be in the kingdom and their future family. So God wants us to stand with our future family, the Jewish people.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 408, which is easier to listen to than the mental load of remembering why you just walked into a room and forgot. And now,
you've got mail.
We have one question this week, Pastor Mark, and it comes from Scarlett.
Yes.
She is a younger listener to the show, and she says, when Jesus died on the cross and went to paradise, what did he do there? Did the people have bodies, or were they spirit-type bodies? Did Jesus take them immediately up to heaven after the 3 days? If we had the technology, is paradise a place in the center of the earth we could find?
What great questions. This is really a great question. And what a great, this good discussion, because so many people have the same questions out there, Scarlett. So if you're listening, first of all, great question. When Jesus died on the cross, I want to go down and make sure I answer all these. I want to kind of look at the question at each point here. He says he went to paradise. We see the man on the cross with Jesus, the two men, and the Lord there. And one of them got saved. And Jesus said, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Well, that's interesting, because we know that the Lord didn't ascend back up into heaven for 43 more days. He was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then 40 days on the surface of the earth, visiting with the disciples and all. Then he ascended back to heaven. So where did he go? Where's paradise? He said today. He didn't say in 43 days you're going to be with me in paradise. He said today. So where'd they go? He didn't go back to heaven. Well, it tells us he went to some place called paradise that's not yet heaven. And the Bible gives us insight into that. It would appear to be a place in the heart of the earth. It talks about it in Luke chapter 16, where it talks about Lazarus and the rich man. Now, some of you that are listening, you're going, wait a minute, I thought Lazarus and the rich man was a parable. It's not. In parables, you never use real person's names. You'll find in all the parables, they are a man went to this. A young man left and went into a prodigal son, went into a far country. And the father was waiting and he came back. A sower went out to sow and he sowed seed in the field. Those are parables. Whenever a name is used, it's a true story. Because at that point, if the Lord uses a name, he would be lying if it wasn't real, because he just made something up. So he can't lie. These aren't parables. And that may sound drastic that way, but that's what I believe the scripture teaches. Now, with that said, we see that Lazarus and the rich man went to the heart of the earth. You say, well, why wouldn't the rich man named? How come Lazarus was named but not the rich man, if that's not a parable? Because the Bible says that the name of the unrighteous will not be remembered. So Lazarus was unsaved. I'm sorry, the rich man was unsaved. Lazarus was saved. So his name was remembered and mentioned. The rich man was only referred to as the rich man because the righteous, the Bible says, will be remembered. The unrighteous will not be remembered. So it shows they go there to the heart of the earth. They see Abraham and all the people down there before Christ. There they are in this supernatural paradise. So yes, it would appear, Scarlett, that there is a supernatural paradise in the heart of the earth. It's interesting. The Bible talks about in Revelation as it's made up of more than one compartment. You've got a place called paradise, which was obviously supernatural. How do you be in the center of the earth and it'd be pleasant? No, because God, he made a supernatural paradise where Abraham, Isaac, Elijah, David, all the people prior to the cross went to be until the cross. Now, why would that be? Because prior to the cross, nobody could go into heaven. The Bible says that it's Jesus' blood that makes us available for heaven, and Jesus is the door into heaven. So he had to first die, had to pay for our sins so that anybody could even go. So the first person, the first human, besides the Lord, to ever get into heaven happened 2,000 years ago when he led captivity captive and took them up there. That's why it's interesting when Jesus said, you know, you think about all the people that were already dead, right? Jesus said, no one has seen the Father but the Son. What do you mean? Where'd all those guys go? Well, they weren't there yet. Only Jesus had seen the Father. But then they were in paradise. So the Lord, but it's got that, it's got a pleasant place and it's got an unpleasant place. Mm-hmm. The unpleasant place, again, I know the whole compartment can be referred to as Hades, but I think of that as Hades and paradise is the one next to it. When you read the parable in Luke's, a parable.
I thought the whole thing was Sheol, and then one side was Hades and the other side was paradise.
Well,
or no?
Sheol is a picture of the eternal lake of fire in Scripture.
Never mind.
Is the temporary holding tank.
Gotcha.
So that there is a difference.
Gotcha.
Symbolically. Anyway. So when he descended down there, there's these compartments, and technically, and you can look this up on your own, Scarlett, if you want. It talks about in Peter, I think it's 2 Peter, it talks about that there are angels that are locked up in hell. It's actually the word Tartarus. It's the only time it's used in all of Scripture. And it would appear that it also is at the heart of the earth. So you've got these three compartments down there. You've got paradise. Some say it's all called Hades, but I'm going to call it Hades for argument's sake. Hades.
That's what I meant.
And Tartarus.
Yeah.
And the ones in Tartarus, they're locked up because of something they did in the days of Noah. And I believe that's when the angels came and had relations and children in that day with humans. That's a whole other story, and we'll get sidetracked. But when people die today, before Christ, the believers went to paradise. The unbeliever went to Hades in the unpleasant area. Not yet hell, but a holding tank till judgment day. So when they were on the cross, the Lord descended, it says, to the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He took this righteous man with him, and they went down to paradise. So the Lord would have shown up there in paradise and would have presented himself as the Messiah to Abraham, Elijah, David, all the believers prior to the Lord, and the man on the cross. They all would have been there together, and they were there for 3 days and three nights. Those over in Hades, it says, in the unpleasant area, they could see what was going on. They could hear what was going on. We see that the rich man and Abraham are talking back and forth, but they can't cross back and forth. There's a barrier, kind of like those science, sci-fi, force fields.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting. That whole thing right there, because if you're in your spirit body or whatever in your spirit, and you would think that could go anywhere, but yet somehow there was a chasm so wide.
Well, it's a wall. They could see each other, but you couldn't. God didn't let them. Yeah. Now, so that's what prayer was. Now, let me ask you the question. So what happens to believers and unbelievers now? Now that Jesus died on the cross and the door's been opened to heaven. The Bible says for believers to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the moment we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord in heaven. We don't go to paradise. We go straight to heaven. The unbeliever, however, still goes down to Hades. And right now, Hades, in the heart of the earth, is full of lost souls. And anyone that dies today will join those lost souls down the center of the earth. What a horrible thing to think you'd go down to the center of the earth. That's where you're going to go when you die. How horrible. And then it only gets worse because on Judgment Day, it says Hades will come before the Lord. He'll cast him into the lake of fire. So no one's in hell yet, but they'll be cast from there into hell. And that talks about that in Revelation. Now, so the Lord descended. He led everyone free. Ephesians 4 talks about he led captivity captive. That's what it's talking about. When he got all those in paradise, he brought them back up with him to the surface of the earth. And here's where it gets really wild. They didn't all go to heaven yet because he spent 40 more days here on the earth before he ascended. And he has to lead the way. He's the door. So that means Abraham, David, Isaac, Jacob, all the founding fathers, if you will, of the faith, they were all there with Jesus for 40 days here on the surface of the earth, but you couldn't see them because this gets to your other question, Scarlett. No, they didn't have their bodies yet, and no one has their body yet, even now. It would appear that we get our eternal body at the rapture of the church. And so that talks about Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians talks about that. So right now it's just spirits in heaven. If we die, we'd be a spirit there with the Lord. We'll get our body. It would appear at the rapture of the church. In all fairness, some do believe that we get our bodies automatically right now the moment we die, but I just can't find that in Scripture. I lean toward no, we're going to get them because he said the dead in Christ will rise first, then those who alive and remain. So there seems to be kind of a pattern here. Hey, I'm going to give the bodies to those who've already been waiting longer, and then I'm going to give the ones that just got raptured their body. In being fair. So that's, you die now, you go to heaven. If you're without the Lord, you go to Hades. We'll get our new bodies at the rapture of the church. But without the body, don't worry, you're going to be satisfied in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be, we don't really understand what it's going to be like.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then so, again, if we had the technology, here's the thing that's interesting about that last question. Could we find paradise at the center of the earth? I don't know. It depends on whether or not the sounds that they're making are sounds that the physical ear can hear, or whether only the spiritual ear can hear. Because they're down there making noise. They're down there talking, and there's noise going on in the heart of the earth with the unbeliever. We see that with the rich man talking to Abraham. They're talking. They're making noise. So, but if you got some sensor that was down there, you wouldn't see them because they're only spirits. So you couldn't see anything. But the question is, could you hear them? That would be eerie. No, well, no pun intended. If you could hear them. So I don't know about whether or not you could or not. But it is interesting, too. It answers another question. There's two questions it answers that are very interesting. When you look at Matthew after the resurrection of Christ, it says that some that were in the graves woke up and came into the city, some that were dead. Think people rose from the dead? Yeah. Well, again, if you had just died and your body was still fresh, I don't know why God allowed it, but it appears he let them go back in their body temporarily. And Matthew tells us they got up and started going into Jerusalem. So it would appear that some that had just died, as their spirits came up from paradise, they entered into their bodies. And I don't know what they did. That last In-N-Out burger or something. Yeah. I don't know what they did. But they did. That explains why people were getting up in the graves, I think, and walking around. And the other thing it explains, it talks about in the Scripture all through the Bible, but again, it comes up again in Revelation, the bottomless pit. It says that those who die will be cast into the bottomless pit. Well, we know that hell is a lake of fire. So you got two different things here. Wait a minute. I thought it was a lake of fire. Though the lake of fire is coming. But the Bible says the first two in the lake of fire will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. Yeah. Then after 1,000 years, Satan will be the third one in. Then when the great white throne judgment, everybody else goes in. Now, so what is this bottomless pit? Well, that's Hades. Think about it. It's a circle. The earth is round. It's in the heart of the earth. There's no bottom to a circle. And because the earth is rotating, again, even scientists say today, they speculate, and they say they have calculations to show it, that there's no gravity at the heart of the earth because the spinning is at such a rate that if you were there, you would just float.
Mm.
That's a bottomless pit. It's round, and you don't fall. So that would explain, again, spirits aren't going to fall anyway, but very, very interesting. And by the way, the bottomless pit kind of does away with flat earth theory, now that I think about it, because you couldn't have a bottomless pit if the earth was flat. And we know it's not. I mean, I'm making a point for those out there who promote that.
Yes.
It's impossible because of the bottomless pit for there to be anything such as a flat earth. But either way, it is a round earth. And because of the way that it goes, it would appear that you have Hades and there they are in the heart of the earth. So complex question and wonderful question. I think a lot of people were wondering the same thing. And so that's my take on it.
Well, let me ask a question that maybe Scarlett's now even thought of after her question. And that is, can the people that are in Hades, Pastor Mark, can they still see paradise? Is it kind of like this empty, vacant, good-looking place? Did Jesus, quote-unquote, turn the lights off because everyone's gone? Or did they need the space to expand Hades because of all the people?
You know,
does the Bible say anything?
I'll just tell you what the Bible does say. I don't think you'd need any more space because spirits don't really need...
I know.
You know, you get 2,000 in a few pigs, remember?
Oh, yes, exactly.
So, but here's the thing, I've seen hundreds in just one cat. So, anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I know you're a cat dad.
I know.
And I'm just kidding.
It's okay.
I love cats. Especially with hot sauce. No, I'm just kidding. I love cats. I really do.
I forgot your hair does look like Alf.
I do. I love it. You got any cats? You have to be old enough to even know what Alf is.
That's right. Yes. This is old man jokes.
It is. But I will say this, Greg. All it says is that they can see over into paradise. It doesn't give us any more details. My speculation is, and who knows? I don't know. My speculation is it's still there and they can see it.
As a reminder of what they missed out on.
Think about how horrible. Wow. Think about how horrible it would be to be in a place that's hot and miserable and dark with fire. And you've rejected God, and you look across this chasm that you can't cross to, and there's like waterfalls and springs and trees and beauty and some type of light, supernatural, the light of God emanating in there. I don't know, is God's light still there? Did God let it go dark? I don't know. But boy, I would just say this, don't go there. If you're listening to this broadcast, the Bible says if you die without Christ, that's where you're going to go. And that's the good part. That's the good part. Because the Bible says you'll be there for another 1,000 years when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. And at the end of the 1,000 years,
can't even imagine.
He will call you up out of Hades. The Bible says death and Hades will stand before the throne and he will cast them into the lake of fire, which is eternal. So you go from an uncomfortably hot, miserable, dark place
to something even worse,
to something much worse that never, ever ends. And for those who would say, how could God send anybody there? Let me remind you, God didn't send anybody there. God created man to live forever with him. Mankind chose to sin, and then God gave a way out. God said, you chose to sin, which keeps you from me. So I'm going to send my son. He'll die on a cross. If you believe in him and his blood on the cross and that he rose again, I'll forgive you. And now you can come back to heaven and live with me forever. So I would just say, look, if you don't know the Lord, don't go there. You can right now make that choice. And say, God, forgive me of my sins. Receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Believe that he died and resurrected. And the Bible says you will, when you die, you'll go to be with the Lord in heaven. You're going to get a new body, and you're going to be there forever, as opposed to those that will be cast into the lake of fire. And that's something many people don't like to hear. But the reality is, that is what the unbeliever is facing. And if we love them, we have to tell them, but we have to tell them in love. And so I say that in love and hoping that you'll receive Christ even now. Don't even wait till this broadcast is over. What if you had a heart attack? People don't know when they're going to die. I would say stop. Even now, normally I'd say listen to Signs of the Times. I would say at this moment, stop listening to Signs of the Times, receive Christ, and then go back and hear the podcast from the beginning all the way through. Because you don't want to miss Elvis or anything else.
Well, Scarlett, we hope you didn't miss the answer to your question. And if you've got a question like Scarlett, we just invite you to go to thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. All All right, let's roll around in some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Our first one comes from foxweather.com, dated March 24th. A powerful magnitude 7.5 earthquake. Don't underestimate that. That is big. Rattled the Pacific Ring of Fire hotspot.
Again, Ring of Fire, where all the volcanoes are.
Yes.
Again, and here's another thing. I want to remind our listeners, Matthew 24, the Lord said in the last days, earthquakes will increase like a woman having birth pains. Now, understand this, and this is something, don't you know, there's always been earthquakes. Okay, hold on. In recorded history, up until the 1900s, and really, maybe through the first part of the 1900s, I have to go back and look at the numbers. But anyway, there was only one major earthquake in the world every 10 years. And a major earthquake is anything, you know, I think maybe even 6 and up, but it's definitely 7 and up. This would be considered a major earthquake. You only had these like once every 10 years. Greg, we have hundreds of these in 10 years now. It has exponentially exploded around the globe. And I say hundreds. We have hundreds over a period of months in the world now. I think in the first 10 years, we'd already had 60 in the 2000 or something. So the point is, I don't know about hundreds, but I would say, you know, again, over 100 by now. And I don't know what the number is that happened in just so far through this century. So let me take the hundreds back, but a lot. Unprecedented in world history. So don't miss this. God is showing the signs, but if you don't know the stats and the facts, you don't know the signs. A magnitude 7.5 earthquake was detected some 148 miles below the surface of the Pacific Ocean, roughly 103 miles west of Nifu, Tonga. Probably felt this one really strong down in Hades.
That's an interesting thought now, isn't it?
Absolutely. According to the USGS, the quake was felt across several and the Tongan island just after 5:30 p.m. local time. At least three other smaller quakes were recorded shortly after at similar depths. The quake's epicenter was about 148 miles below the ocean's surface, roughly the same distance between New York City and Baltimore. Both Tonga and nearby Fiji are among the most seismically active countries in the world, due to their location along the major subduction zone where the Pacific and Australian tectonic plates collide. So you're going to see a lot more of this, but here's the answer. Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord, and it's going to be groaning a lot more.
All right, well, these next two articles came into our See We Told You So inbox. The first one comes from FoxNews.com. Rapidly spreading COVID variant triggers a CDC alert over a virus evolution.
Yeah, again, we talked about Geert Vandenbosch last week. I didn't remember his name. I looked it up this week. But Geert Vandenbosch, he's a well-known virologist. And he had warned when the COVID thing happened, he said they were going to do worldwide, you know, shots. And he was one of the few voices that came out and said, look, I'm not opposed to you giving shots. Just don't do it all at once. He said, if you give everybody in the world a shot at the same time, he said, you're going to destroy the immunity to this particular virus. And if it mutates, we're all in big trouble. I mean, he was just proclaiming that from the rooftop. Nobody would listen to him. He said, do it a country at a time. You know, go over a few months period. Let bodies adapt and build up new immunities to the variants as they develop. And that way it won't overtake us. Well, no one listened to him. And Greg, I said it last, I think it was maybe last week, but he appears to be correct. I think he's being sadly justified. Listen to what it says. A new variant of COVID-19 is spreading across the U.S., health officials say. And Geert Vandenbosch warned us about 5 years ago. The BA.3.2 variant. Don't get that upgrade. Just skip that one. It's a beta version.
Don't download that.
Let it go. There's going to be a virus in it. Which the CDC has been tracking through its travel-based genomic surveillance program has about 70 to 75 changes in the gene sequence of its spike protein. Here's the problem. We can't fight those sequences because we broke down our immunities to them by giving everybody a shot at the same time, which is the structure on the surface of the COVID-19 virus, which helps it enter human cells. BA.3.2, which started rising in September 2025, was first confirmed in the U.S. in June 2025 in a person traveling to the U.S. from the Netherlands. They should have never let that person travel. No, I'm just kidding. They probably didn't know that, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, either way. It's like the guy I heard that broke his back in three places. I said, after the first one, I'd have gone home. So the variant has shown immune escape characteristics, the CDC stated, which means it has mutations that may help it partially evade existing immunity from vaccines or prior infection. Now, listen to this statement here. Again, this could make the infections more likely, according to experts, because notice this, it has shown immune escape characteristics. You know what causes immune escape characteristics? A worldwide mass vaccination all at the same time. This guy warned everybody.
Yep.
Now we're seeing these variants. He said, again, at that time, I don't think, Greg, at the beginning, he eventually came out against it. He said, this is not good. I don't think, and I may be wrong on that, but I don't think he came out against the shot initially. I think he was just warning everybody, you're going to create an immunity problem worldwide against anything else that this COVID-19 decides it wants to do. And here we are. I think we need to listen to, you know, everybody talks about the science until somebody says something they don't agree with. Either way, I know that God's going to be faithful. We don't have to be fearful. The Lord's on the throne. He's going to take care of us.
All right. Here's another one of our See We Told You So articles. This one comes from FoxNews.com, dated March 25th. A major study finds, shocker, cannabis may backfire for mental health disorders.
Unbelievable. Major study finds. Yeah, I've entitled the scripture for this one is Duh 101. I mean, drugs, illicit drugs are not going to help anybody. This is where I go, I don't understand where common sense went. But at least they did a study on it and figured it out. It won't change anything. Either way, a large body of research found there's little evidence, strong evidence, that medical cannabinoids help with mental disorders and substance abuse. I would say that cannabis, it makes your mental disorder happen and even get worse. It doesn't help anything.
Yep.
Researchers, who has to research this? I mean, I could have told you that. I could have saved you millions of dollars. Just call me.
Yeah.
Researchers at the University of Sydney, Australia, because they didn't call Pastor Mark Kirk in Knoxville, reviewed 54 randomized controlled trials from 1980 to 2025 when cannabinoids, they're these, you know, people in a foreign land, it sounds like.
Not humanoids, but cannabinoids.
Were used as the primary treatment. Really just cannabis. The researchers noted that depression, anxiety, and PTSD and some of the leading reasons that are some of the leading reasons that marijuana products are prescribed in the US, UK, Australia, but there's no evidence to suggest that they treat the conditions. The analysis found that cannabis-based treatments are rarely justified and that the risk of adverse side effects is about 75% higher for those who use them. Cannabinoids did not show a significant benefit for anxiety disorders, psychotic disorders, PTSD, opioid use disorder, or anorexia nervosa. The routine use of medical cannabis could be doing more harm, they said, than good, by worsening mental health outcomes. Just call me next time. Next time this comes up and there's a big study, call me. I'll tell you. It's ruining people. Let's go on. Though our paper didn't specifically look at this, the routine use...
You're a child of the 60s. You already had your own science experiments.
Talk to somebody who was there and repented, and ruined part of his brain capacity.
Thank you.
Though our paper didn't specifically look at this, the routine use of medical cannabis could be doing more harm than good by worsening mental health outcomes. For example, a greater risk of psychotic symptoms and developing cannabis use disorder and delaying the use of more effective treatments. If I sound a little sarcastic, I am... The blindness of humanity. You don't need a study to let you know that illicit drugs will ruin your brain and ruin your life and everything in your life, as well as your soul and your chance to go to heaven. Repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and He will deliver you from these things and set you free. I love Jesus. I'm so thankful that we have Him. And I know that people don't know better, but when I see something that goes this far down the road, I'm like, how do you not know? It's again, this goes back to male and female.
Yes.
This is not a hard one, guys. Don't spend lots of money. Don't do any more research. Wake up. Okay, I'm done.
Well, there's no safe space anymore, Pastor Mark. This is a code red from Breitbart.com dated March 24th. Yes, people are already worshiping artificial intelligence as a deity.
Interesting. That may be what the image is on the Temple Mount in Revelation. It may be an AI thing. Well, so
we thought about that.
And he's going to be worshipped.
Yep.
So Arthur Wynton Hall reveals in his new book, Code Red, The Left, The Right, China, and the Race to Control AI. Took the front and back to get that cover name on there, by the way. That the worship of artificial intelligence as a literal deity is not science fiction. It's already happening, complete with IRS-registered churches, robot priests, and AI confessionals.
Mm.
Code Red explains that the former Google AI engineer and self-driving car pioneer Anthony Lewandowski filed paperwork with the IRS in 2017 to register a new church called the Way of the Future, which is an AI church. The transhumanist movement, which Hall explores at length in Code Red, takes the logic further still in the famed 2004 issue of Foreign Policy on the theme of the world's most dangerous ideas. Political scientist Francis Fukuyama singled out transhumanism as the chief menace, warning that its incremental advance makes it appear downright reasonable until we start nibbling at the biotechnology tempting offerings without realizing that they come with a frightful moral cost. Former Trump campaign strategist Stephen K. Bannon called it immoral, godless, technological tsunami that will openly declare its intent to transform human beings into a post-human state. Yeah, so, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I think AI, people ask me, do you think AI is going to have something to do with the mark, the beast, or the image?
Absolutely.
I think it's very possible. Unless something advances beyond that, I think it's very likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need that music for
this. Yes, we do. Is there anybody really for the whole show. All right, this is some weird science coming from JPost.com. A startup company wants to grow, quote-unquote, headless humans to replace lab animals.
Listen to this. This is just freaky. The San Francisco biotech startup is advancing brain-free bodyoids grown from human cells to create a complete organ system that can replace laboratory animals in drug research and one day supply organs for transplantation.
So you've got humanoids, cannabinoids,
think
and
about
now
that.
Bodyoids.
Yeah, think about that. It's like you know, this all stinks. Now you need deltoids just to get rid of the smell of this. But what's interesting, Greg, and I'll read some more of this real quickly.
Yes.
They're basically saying, look, we can do experiments on these because there's none aren't human. They don't have a brain. They can't feel anything. They're not a person. They don't really exist. And we can experiment even pain they wouldn't feel. So we can see how people respond to things.
Well, then how would you know if...
I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, okay. But here's the thing. But also, they're saying you could grow a liver. You'll grow a heart. You can get organs for people. This is where I say, how long will God let this go on without intervention?
Yeah, exactly.
Design without a brain. Again, we have people in politics.
I was going to say, I knew you were going to go there.
I'm sorry. So they cannot experience consciousness, sentience, or pain. The platforms aim to replicate interactions of multiple organs inside one integrated system. It's not missing anything because we designed it only to have the things we want, said Alice Gilman, R3 Bio's co-founder and CEO, referring to the brain-free organ sacs, according to New York Post. Again, scary stuff and pretty bizarre. How long can God let it go on? I don't think very much longer.
Well, let's enjoy some good news. This is from Breitbart.com, dated March 21st. Only Jesus can change a heart. He's the only one that can make a heart, too, by the
way. That's right.
Georgia church experiences 400 unplanned baptisms in one day.
Yeah, this is so neat.
God Call all your
moving.
Pastors.
Yeah, this watch this. A church in Georgia rejoicing after hundreds of people were baptized in one day. Members at Bethlehem's church, three campuses in Barrow, Jackson, and Oconee. Showed up on March 1st for services. They planned 13 baptisms. However, 387 additional baptisms came forward. Lead pastor Jason Brett had prepared to preach on the Holy Spirit and felt God leading him to call listeners to come forward for baptism. Then and there, he referenced Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out and ascended at Pentecost. And he said, then this was the response. The verse states, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises to you, your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call, which includes everyone even today. Britt was amazed, and at the other church members, when they saw waves of adults coming forward, people didn't want to leave, and they just continued, got baptized. The 9 a.m. service went into the 11 a.m. service. What a great, that's so awesome. Again, people being stirred, you know, God moved them to be baptized. And again, this is where God can move at any moment for somebody to say, I want to give my life to Christ to be baptized. Now, whether or not they were already saved and just wanted to be baptized, or whether or not they got saved, probably a mixture of both. I would encourage you right now listening. We got into some heavy topics today. And I don't want to leave without saying this. Look, once again, if you've not been baptized, if you've not received Jesus Christ as Savior, it's not just a prayer. It's not just words you say from your heart, believing that Jesus died for you on the cross. His blood paid for your sin. He died and resurrected 3 days later. We're about to celebrate that in a couple of weeks. If you will ask God to forgive you and receive him right now, the Bible says you will be born again. Don't let your soul's eternal future rest in unknown lands. Make that decision right now. pray that prayer, receive Jesus Christ, be born again, and be a part of the family of God. And if you don't have a church to go to, we invite you to come to Calvary Chapel this weekend. And next weekend, we're looking at Palm Sunday, some cool things this weekend, some really great things next weekend.
We're celebrating a king this Sunday, Pastor Mark.
We are, that's right. And Jesus, our Lord, he rules and reigns. And so again, we want to invite you to be there. Look, if you have a home church, go to your home church. If you've fallen away from fellowship, then get back in fellowship. And thirdly, if you've never come to church and you don't know the Lord, come join us. See what Jesus Christ will do for you if you believe in him, and he'll give you eternal life.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you as always. Folks, this is a great week to come back to church if you haven't been in a while and learn about the whole reason why we call ourselves Christians and why we have the hope that we have for eternity, because normal isn't coming back, but Jesus is.
Amen.
All right, have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next Friday.
WIAM LP 9.